to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hung where you can see every couple tries to stop. Rocking around the Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit ring.
Everybody doing our small part here on the Political Cesspool radio program to get everyone into the special and spiritual time of Christmas, this time of year where we're guided by faith and love and hope for our people and the faith that brought us together. Welcome to the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards, second hour here this Saturday evening, November 27th, less than a month before Christmas, as we broadcast to you from AM 1380 WLRM Studios, our flagship station in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM/FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com. I want to thank Keith Alexander, as always, for his contributions to the show during the first hour. If you missed the first hour, I encourage you to go back after this program concludes and consult with our broadcast archive. Still much more to come tonight over the course of this hour and then the third one, which is to follow. This hour, though, I am particularly excited about. The second hour, our guest coming up in a couple of minutes will be, a couple of segments anyway, Wayne Lutton, editor of The Social Contract. That fine publication recently did an incredibly detailed expose on the Southern Poverty Law Center entitled The Profiteers of Hate, and they are not the only one. The Southern Poverty Law Center's credibility continues to plummet after having been savaged by the Washington Times in a commentary that was published just yesterday. The Washington Times, now, you know, it comes as no surprise to regular listeners of the Political Cesspool that the SPLC has no credibility and that they are just a fundraising hustle and that they breed hatred and contempt and try to use fear to line their coffers with money by slandering and defaming everyone to the right of Joseph Stalin. And, of course, no one has been targeted more than the Political Cesspool radio program and yours truly over the course of the last 5 years. But it's good to know that other people above and beyond our highly intelligent audience is beginning to see these charlatans for what they truly are. They've been denounced and exposed by liberal publications like the Baltimore Sun and Harper's Magazine, but now the Washington Times, again, in this commentary that was published just yesterday, getting in on the act, and here is what they write. Prior to November's secular socialism rollback, America's ever-shrill progressive movement contorted in a desperate effort to paint the Tea Party movement as a horde of hateful inbred racists. Judging by the results, it was an epic failure. Instead, and thanks at least in part to the left's overreaching smear campaign, the grassroots Tea Party groundswell, representing every facet of traditional American values, grew to become a political force of nature. Now the frays of the fanatical fringe have done it again. These so-called progressives, led by the Alabama-based Southern Poverty Law Center, SPLC, have gifted the American mainstream with yet another teachable moment. The SPLC, the Washington Times writes, is a small, hardcore leftist political outfit known for promoting a panoply of radical liberal causes. The center holds itself out as an objective monitor of potential violent or subversive hate groups such as the Ku Klux Klan, skinheads, or other white supremacists. But in recent years, and I can testify to this as much as anyone, and with increasing abandon, the SPLC has leveraged, abused really, its rapidly decreasing political capital and waning credibility to target and undermine organizations that, rather than dealing with the business of genuine hate, instead pose a direct threat to the advancement of postmodern secular socialism generally, and to the Democratic Party specifically. This is what we in the business call political hackery. Now, ladies and gentlemen, keep in mind, once again, this is not my commentary I'm reading to you here verbatim. It is a commentary printed in the Washington Times yesterday, front and center. It continues by reading, in sum, the SPLC has become an extremist wolf in watchdog clothing. Mark Potok, a columnist with the liberal Huffington Post, doubles as SPLC director. When he's able to find time away from long walks on the beach reading poetry and maligning Grandma Ann, Uncle Dan, and other Tea Party patriots as right-wing extremists shot through with rich veins of radical ideas, conspiracy theories, and racism, Mr. Potok can usually be found like a yappy little pug chasing after some of the largest and most reputable conservative and Christian male trucks in the country. Apparently, having become frustrated with the relative ineffectiveness of the SPLC's more subtle guilt by association scheme, Mr. Potok evidently has decided to gather his last remaining credibility chips and go all in. Following to the letter Saul Alinsky's admonition to pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it, the SPLC in its most recent intelligence report has officially labeled a number of highly influential mainstream conservative and Christian organizations as hate groups. Most notably, the SPLC has placed alongside the Klan and other neo-Nazi organizations the Washington, D.C.-based Family Research Council and the Mississippi-based American Family Association. Their crime, according to the SPLC, anti-gay propagation of known falsehoods. I say most notably because these two groups alone contain membership roles in the millions. Ladies and gentlemen, it goes on from there. And in fact, it gets even better from there. It reads in conclusion, so, center-right America, if you happen to believe in the sanctity of natural marriage and that as a culture we're best served by honoring the sexual ethic of our forefathers, you are now officially a hater, the Washington Times writes. Of course, the tired goal of this silly scheme is to associate the public's mind, mainstream conservative social values with racism, so on and so forth. Hence, beyond a self-aggrandizing liberal echo chamber, the SPLC, and by extension, the greater progressive movement, has become largely, as it stews in its own radicalism, just another punchline. Congratulations, conservative America. They're calling you a Nazi. Carry on. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the Washington Post, as if it were written by James Edwards himself. And as I said, no one has been attacked more than the political cesspool and myself over the years, over the last 5 years, by the SPLC. No one. And so I say to these Christian conservative organizations, as woe begone as they may be themselves, welcome to the club. And we're going to talk more about it right after this.
When the truth is found to be... Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Coming up after one more segment, we'll be joined by our featured guest for the evening, who is Wayne Lutton, editor of The Social Contract. Check him out at thesocialcontract.com. What we're focusing on this hour is the Southern Poverty Law Center, their tactics, and as the Washington Post wrote in a commentary yesterday, their diminishing credibility as if they ever had any to begin with, and I don't know if they ever did. Certainly not since I've been on the scene, which has been a better part of a decade now. But I was trying to read a pretty lengthy commentary for you during that last segment. I didn't quite get to all of it, but you can read it for yourself, and I encourage you to do so by logging on to our official website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Read this scathing condemnation that was issued by the Washington Times, a blistering article there on the SPLC and their tactics. Now, I also have some comments, and of course, this commentary was spurred on by the fact that the SPLC has now listed all, essentially all Christians as, I guess every Christian is a hate group. I know I'm a hate group in myself. I'm the host of the Political Cesspool. We're a hate group. I'm a member of the Council of Conservative Citizens. That's a hate group. Now, all Christian groups are hate groups, according to the SPLC. Basically, if you have any semblance of traditional values, you are a hater. And so, as I mentioned, then this was something that could be predicted. I wrote this on our website, what goes around comes around, and it is finally happening. You know, I don't share exactly the same perspective as the columnists for the Washington Times did, except for the fact that we both agree that the SPLC is morally bankrupt. But these mainstream Christian groups, and I'm not talking about your rank and file Christian, of which each member of the hosting staff is. I'm talking about these mainstream, more or less politically correct Christian groups, have spent decades demonizing people with traditional views on race, immigration, and interracial marriage as racists and Nazis and haters themselves. Now, many of them did this because they have been force-fed so much liberal indoctrination themselves that they actually believe it. With many others, though, it was nothing but pure cynicism in action. They thought that if they constantly condemned and denounced people with traditional viewpoints on what has now become, at least in terms of political correctness, taboo issues, then the liberals would see that their hearts are in the right place and they would leave them alone when it came to enforcing politically correct agendas on homosexuality. Of course, and I'm talking about these mainstream Christian groups, these mega Christian groups like the AFA and the FRC, Family Research Council and American Families Association. Deep down, most of them know that we race realists are right, and they agree with us. Now, if you doubt it, just ask them what part of town that they live in and let their answer speak for itself. But they hope that over the course of these last few years, denouncing us as the real haters would get them a pass. Well, no dice. For the last several years, sodomites have been condemning opposition to homosexual marriage as hate. It was easy enough to ignore that because everyone knows how dramatic and hysterical homos can be. So Christian groups weren't too worried about it. But they can't ignore this. And that gets us back to the original column from the Washington Times that says the Poverty Law Center has now announced that they have added five more names to their official list of American hate groups. And they include Don Wildman's American Family Association and James Dobson and Gary Bauer's Family Research Council. They're also keeping an eye, quote unquote, on several other groups, including Beverly LaHaye's Concerned Women for America and Maggie Gallagher's National Organization for Marriage. Now, Don Wildman is milquetoast all the way around, as is James Dobson, as is Gary Bauer, when it comes to a lot of the topics that we talk about on this show. And yet now, even they, just for something as innocuous and as simple and as righteous as being opposed to the perversity of homosexual marriage, they now find themselves, with all the rest of us good folk, there on the SPLC's hate list. And, you know, to them I say, welcome to the club. I mean it. But if they thought that placating and trying to play the game would get them absolution, well, they were wrong. And so now we'll see where they go from here. I mean, I do agree with the Washington Times column that this just further diminishes whatever credibility some liberal nitwits thought that the SPLC might have had grouping these clowns on the hate group. You know, it's an honor to be on the hate group. I don't think these people really even deserve it, although I will welcome them nevertheless. But, you know, there was no doubt that this was coming. The template was set back in the 1950s and in the 1960s. There is nothing wrong with black people choosing to marry other black people and having, having concerns if that doesn't happen. And there's certainly no doubt when whites choose to marry other white people and not approving of it when, the daughter comes home with someone of another race. I mean, I think that's just natural. I think it's healthy. I think that's divinely inspired that we would choose to be with our own kind, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. But we were taught back in the 60s, or we were retaught that, you know, having those traditional values and those traditional practices was hate. And, you know, the blueprint for this was set in stone during the misnamed and so-called civil rights movement. If it all of a sudden became hate for you to believe in traditional values on this set of principles, then how could it not be hate? And how could those same rules and those same tactics not be eventually applied to sodomite marriage? Well, they have been. It was successful then, and it could very well and probably will be successful on this in the future. But for the time being, the Family Research Council and American Family Associations have no comment at all on being named hate groups. And as I said, neither the AFA or the FRC, two well-known and popular evangelical groups, have had anything to say about officially being declared a hate group by the SPLC. They're simply acting as if they're not aware of this development. Now, you'd think they've had something to say about being put on par with the Ku Klux Klan and the American Nazi Party by an outfit whose word is taken as gospel by virtually every media outlet in the country. But so far, they've both been completely silent, even as left-wingers and sodomites trumpet the news all over their websites. As I said, it will be interesting to see how all of this plays out. Of course, a lot of political cesspool readers and other politically aware types have known for a long time that what the SPLC is up to and what a complete fraud they are. But the average American, especially the average American quote-unquote Judeo-Christian, is not only not aware of the SPLC's agenda, they're also terrified of being seen as having anything to do with any hate of any kind. Will some of them now begin to shun the American Family Association and the Family Research Council? What will the media do? Anytime there's a story about the Council of Conservative Citizens in the media, for instance, they always make sure to point out that this group of patriotic conservatives is listed as a hate group by the SPLC. And while they may have, occasionally do a story about the CFCC, they're always in the form of attacks. The media doesn't give them airtime to promote their views. We do. Will they now take the same tack with the Family Research Council and the American Family Association, calling them an official hate group every time their name is mentioned? You know, Tony Perkins is on cable news shows a lot talking about gay marriage, abortion, and other issues. Will he find that his access has now been cut off just because of this SPLC proclamation? Or will the national media decide that this time the SPLC has finally gone too far and treating the FRC just like they treat the American Nazi Party makes them look absolutely ridiculous? We shall see. And we're going to ask our guest, Wayne Lutton, his opinion right after this.
To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, welcome back to the show. I think that the well has been sufficiently primed for our next guest, our featured guest for the evening, friend of mine, Wayne Lutton, editor of The Social Contract. Wayne, how are you doing tonight?
Well, fine. Nice to be with you, James.
It's great to have you on the show this evening. And I tell you, almost a celebratory atmosphere. I'm one of those shallow people who gets a little bit of satisfaction in seeing our enemies get their name drug through the ringer. And Wayne, I tell you, you were a visionary, a man ahead of his time with this incredible expose that your organization published a couple of months ago, late this summer, on the Southern Poverty Law Center. Tell us about that.
Well, of course, so many of us have been on the receiving end of the SPLC's attacks, and especially since the Obama administration came in and brought so many of the SPLC acolytes in with them. There's been this increasing campaign to just brand ordinary citizens who love liberty and the Bill of Rights and recognize the Constitution as being a threat. As you all know, Janice Napolitano in the Department of Homeland Security has issued a series of warnings to law enforcement and all, saying that the people who invoke the Constitution are a danger. And you may have seen just a couple of weeks ago, the Southern Poverty Law Center issued a video and a report warning law enforcement to be on the lookout for cars that have conservative bumper stickers, that if they pull over someone for a traffic violation or whatever, and if they have a conservative bumper sticker, that this may be someone who would endanger law enforcement. So, you know, this just been going on for a long time, and what we did is we put together, got a team of investigators and top writers, and we came out with a special report, Profiteers of Hate. The Southern Poverty Law Center, and it's available free online. You can look and download all the articles from our website, thesocialcontract.com. If you're listeners want a hard copy, send us $5 and we'll send you this 100-page, it's large, 8.5 by 11, 100-page report on the SPLC. And of course it's timely because they've just, within the last few days, SPLC is, in addition to attacking such people, you know, Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann and Glenn Beck and whatnot, they've just recently, their Winter Intelligence Report attacked a whole slew of mainstream, some of them are really quite milquetoast kind of conservative groups.
You know, that's exactly the word that I use to describe Don Wildman and James Dobson. It's not that they're wrong on a lot of what they say, although there is some points of contention that I would take with them. But I think milquetoast pretty accurately describes them when it comes to the people that they are being compared to. The SPLC, I got to tell you, you know, I don't think it comes as any surprise to our audience or to the people who would subscribe to your publication, Wayne, but do you think that once and for all that they've bitten off more than they can chew, or do you think that this will eventually, over time, they repeat the lie often enough that this will become fact, that all Christians are now likened to Klansmen or neo-Nazis?
Well, this is what they're trying to get away with. You know, I hope that the people who turned out, especially the new people who turned out and voted this November, are insensitive to this kind of attack. But what is bad, of course, is that as right now the Southern Poverty Law Center has influence with the Obama administration and especially the Justice Department. So we need to really keep on, especially new members of Congress and all, and just alert them to the fact that these people who are associated with the Southern Poverty Law Center, people at the Justice Department, for example, the Justice Department has a link to the Southern Poverty Law Center as an organization that can inform people about hate groups, and yet as we document and others know, the Southern Poverty Law Center, for example, endorses the work of weather underground terrorist bomber Bill Ayers in their teaching tolerance program. So we really need to keep new members of Congress and these newly energized people, educate them about what's going on.
Do you expect, let me phrase the question this way, do you expect these new mainstream Christian organizations who were targeted and have been attacked this week by the Southern Poverty Law Center, do you expect any kind of response out of them?
So So far, they've been quiet. I suppose some of them are really astonished that they are the brunt of this attack. We've all met a number of the people involved with these organizations, and as you say, they a lot of them mean well and all, but among some conservatives and some of the family values folks, they've had this notion, well, if we would avoid talking about immigration, if we avoid some of these other contentious issues, well, then we won't be attacked. Well, what this latest blast from the SPLC shows is that no one is safe. You can't hide behind a fig leaf and expect not to be attacked if you take a position that is opposed to the left-wing agenda. And of course, what the Southern Poverty Law Center has done with this latest attack on Focus on the Family and et cetera is they've extended or broaden their target base. And now they're saying that organizations that support just, you know, Western traditional family values, thousands of years of what constitutes Western man's positions on family, this now constitutes hate.
Well, you know, Wayne, you're exactly right, and that's what they've done. They have advanced their own line in the sand and broadened their base of targets to include really just about every decent American in the country. But, you know, then again, back three or four decades ago, would anyone have ever thought that there would be a legitimate debate in any shape, form, or fashion about homosexuals being allowed to marry? I mean, back then, and rightfully so.
Well, their agenda is, you know, over the past several decades, they've really had tremendous success.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, just the fact that they've been able to get it this far defies belief. I mean, it wasn't that long ago when it was just a common knowledge that interracial marriage was something that was to be frowned upon, you know, and you know, could have those people have ever imagined that saying Merry Christmas would be an act of rebellion?
Oh, exactly.
I mean, a lot of things have changed. And I'm thinking, you know, if current trends persist, all Christians will be recognized as, you know, the second coming of whomever.
Exactly. Yeah, these moderate Christian groups who have not been standing with us in recent years and who are not, these groups are now being attacked. Their members, at least, and of course their so-called leaders, need to wake up and recognize that we're all in this together. Anyone who is not an enthusiast for the far left agenda is on their list of targets.
Yeah, and I'd like to see a great backlash from our people on this one and really start to take the fight to the SPLC. Now, of course, people like me and you, Wayne, we take their attacks and see them as a badge of honor, and we welcome them and kind of revel in them. But a lot of people, you know, they have been able to cause, you know, some people who are more vulnerable than us a great deal of, you know, discomfort. And we're coming up, and we only have a few seconds before our break, so I guess we'll just pause right there, and when we come back we'll talk a little bit more about the MO of the SPLC. Is there any sincerity at all in their efforts, and what does the FBI say about the list of the most problematic people in the country? A couple of websites carrying this tonight. Pretty interesting facts when you look at the victims of certain groups, the dead and wounded of attacks from certain groups, where the SPLC's favorite targets fall in the pecking order there. So Wayne Lutton's our guest tonight. He's a great one, editor of The Social Contract, and he'll be coming back with us for another segment right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Very honored to have as our guest this evening Wayne Lutton, editor of The Social Contract, and very excited about the work they do there. As he mentioned before, highly encourage you to go and check out their website for yourself, thesocialcontract.com. They are prominently featured. You will find their very lengthy expose, very well documented, very well referenced and sourced expose on the Southern Poverty Law Center entitled The Profiteers of Hate. It's all there for your reading pleasure at thesocialcontract.com. And of course, the topic for the entirety of this hour has been the SPLC's diminishing credibility. They have now listed practically every Christian, even the milquetoast ones, on their hate watch list now. And so they've joined the club. And so I ask you, Wayne, you know, just for the benefit of anyone who's new to the show, and we do have an ever-growing audience, what is, at the end of the day, the MO of the SPLC?
Well, it's the Southern Poverty Law Center serves two functions. First of all, it's just an amazing cash machine for Marcus Dees and the rest of the crew there. They have $170 million in their fund, plus they keep doing they send out fundraising letters every month, and of course this is part of the reason they even keep expanding their list of targets, because they're constantly milking their donor base, and so they have to keep coming up with new enemies to scare their liberal donors. So it's an amazingly successful cash machine, and of course Morris Dees has been recognized by the direct mail associations and all as being one of the most successful people in history on raising money through direct mail, even as such things as Charity Watch List gives to the Southern Poverty Law Center an F. So it's a cash machine for Dees and Richard Cohen and their staff, Heidi Byrick and Potok and all. But the other, in terms of American politics, of course, it's an attack dog of the far left. And the fact that they've been able to influence and get quoted by some mainstream news sources, and now the Obama administration having people who have been associated with SPLC and linked to the SPLC, their ability to do harm has I think increased. But I was glad to see them attack these mainstream Christian pro-family values groups, because that tends to dilute, I think, in time, dilute their ability to influence people. I mean, after all, if you support traditional family values and are then accused of being a hater, many people are going to I think start to wake up. But in the meantime, SPLC has a nefarious influence. Let me just mention, for example, here in the state of Michigan, we had a very close call for the election for Secretary of State, because a liberal lawyer, Jocelyn Benson, was the Democratic candidate for Secretary of State. And of course, Secretary of State's have been targeted by George Soros organization to put leftists into these positions, because they're responsible for voter registration and also such things as state initiatives and this sort of what have you. Well, anyway, here in Michigan, the Democratic Party had as their candidate for Secretary of State Joyce Benson, and she began her career with the Southern Poverty Law Center after she got out of law school. And so she could. Fortunately, the Republicans swept. That was only because of the economy and whatnot. Throughout the across the country, the SPLC graduates, people who've worked with them in the past, are you know, moving into positions of influence.
Well, I mean, with $170 million, you would think you could parlay that into something tangible, and certainly they have. I mean, they're obviously better equipped to get things done than some of these fringe organizations, although they are very fringe in their own nature. But is there any sincerity at all there? Do you think they actually have a cause for which they fight rather than just making money? Because, you know, I'm not sure.
Well, it's hard to go into people's hearts. And,
yeah, it's hypothetical. It's a hypothetical question. Right?
Yeah, exactly. But so many people who actually, liberals who used to support the Southern Poverty Law Center, have said, well, no, they may have had some good intentions when they started, but not anymore. And you know, there are many liberals who have gone away from the Southern Poverty Law Center who've even attacked it for that very reason. So, I mean, when they get to the point where they're just attacking mainstream conservatives, mainstream Americans, members of Congress. I mean, after Michelle Bachmann, Steve King, David Horowitz, they've attacked him. The Mises Institute, you know.
You're right. The credibility. The credibility now, and you know, they've been long ago were denounced by Harper's Magazine, which is certainly not a right of center publication. The Baltimore Sun. You, I must give credit to Wayne Lutton here for giving me the knowledge of this article, this recently published commentary from the Washington Times that I was sharing with you about earlier this hour. So I wonder how that affects their bottom line.
Well, I'm hoping that it'll take some effect. Also, let's face it, their donor base, I suspect, is aging, and I think this may account for why they're so shrill, because they're trying to generate new support. But the foundation for the Southern Poverty Law Center for D-Success was the George McGovern mailing list, and George McGovern was the Democratic candidate for the presidency against Richard Nixon. But the D's had the mailing list, and that was the basis for the SPLC. So I'm hoping these aging liberals will just, you know, their donor base will start to die out.
Hey, listen, if you can't make better use of your money than that, you're better off going on and receiving your own eternal reward, I guess.
Somewhere.
But, you know, I got to put this in here. I made mention of the fact that, you know, you talk about the FBI, you talk about the SPLC. Well, the SPLC would have you to believe that anyone to the right of Joseph Stalin is a neo-Nazi, fascist, white supremacist, not necessarily in that order, or all of the above. You know, now James Dobson is a neo-Nazi,
yeah.
Apparently. And so, but if you look at the FBI's list of attacks that led to victims being dead or wounded by different groups, those who were attacked, and this is listed as a group, neo-Nazis, fascists, white supremacists, 12 from 2001 through 2010, 12 people, the FBI lists, as being accosted by neo-Nazis, fascists, or white supremacists. Of course, at the top of this list is Islamic extremists. They rank into the hundreds of thousands and hundreds
of
victims.
Just,
but Jewish extremists.
Yesterday, if we'd been in Portland, Oregon,
right,
where another Muhammad thought he was setting off a car bomb when they were lighting the Christmas tree yesterday.
Yeah, and you know, you just hardly never hear about that. The SPLC hardly ever focuses on someone like that. Or,
well, while you were on commercial break, I went to their homepage and clicked on news. There isn't any mention at all about any of this stuff. And a year ago, when Major, you know, Hassan, shot up the Fort Hood, they didn't say anything at all about that. And as far as hate crimes, you know, over the FBI has just released their latest hate crimes, the anti-religious offenses report. And as they say, for the umpteenth year in a row, hate crimes are down.
Yeah, absolutely, and they always are down. And I tell you what, Wayne, we really should have had you on for the full hour rather than just a half hour. It went by far too quickly. We're coming up last 30 seconds before our bottom of the hour break. Give us that website one more time for the social contract, and we're going to have you on for a return engagement.
Oh, glad to. It's thesocialcontract.com, thesocialcontract, all one word, .com. You click on there, and the entire report is online. You can read the whole thing, download it for free. But if you want a printed copy, you can click on there, send us $5, and we'll send you the entire report.
Well, they do a lot more at the Social Contract than just expose the SPLC, although they did a great job of doing that. And, Wayne, thanks so much for coming on and spending a little bit of your holiday weekend with us. We will talk to you again soon.
Nice to be with you this weekend. And best to you and the rest of the crew there.
You got it, my friend. Talk to you again soon. God bless.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll be back with a third hour right after this.